Okay, nagbubunyi ang maraming Pilipino ngayon sa pagkakahirang ng ikalawang santong Pilipino na ngayon ay sineselebra sa Vatican, si Pedro Calungsod. Ito'y nag-highlight lamang ng isang malaking pagkakaiba sa pagitan ng simbahang Katoliko at ng mga tinatawag nating reformers na sumiklab noong October 31, 1517 when a German monk by the name of Martin Luther posted a document on his church door in Wittenberg, Germany at tinatawag itong 95 Theses. Maski si Luther ay hindi niya inasahan yung naging katugunan sa nakumalat sa buong Europa, gusto lang niyang magkaroon ng pag-uusap o public debate on the issue that were then current sa tungkol sa indulgence, sa purgatory. Pero ang kaso, kumalat sa buong Europa yung kanyang 95 Theses at ang naging resulta nga ay ang tinatawag na natin sa kasaysayan na Reformation. At the time that Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses, he was still very much a Roman Catholic. Kumbaga, katagasunod pa rin siya ng simbahan, pero naging formal ang separation nang humantong na sa tinatawag na itong pangyayaring ito ay, sa nakikita nyo sa title, may lunch fellowship tayo mamaya, baka bumaligtad ang sikmura nyo. Kaya ang tamang pronunciation dyan ay Diet of Worms. German, W is V, so it's Diet of Worms. It was done in the city of Worms. Pinatawag si Martin Luther April 17, 1521, about a month after Magellan rediscovered the Philippines. So habang sa Pacific ay nadiskubre ang magiging Pilipinas sa katawagan, a month after that ay nandito si Martin Luther sa city of Worms. Pinatawag siya ng Holy Roman Empire noon. Ang tawag, hindi ito empire, hindi rin Roman, at lalong hindi holy. Pero yun ang tawag sa kanya, Holy Roman Empire. At pinatawag itong si Luther para bigyang linaw yung kanyang mga isinulat at yung kanyang mga itinuturo. Sa April 17 noon, pinakita sa kanya yung mga sinulat niyang libro at humingi siya ng postponement. Akala nila ito'y tiyak na bumibigay na si Dr. Luther. Kaya binigyan siya ng isang gabi pa. Kaya ang nangyari, nanalangin siya nung gabing iyon at humarap siya April 18, 1715. Narito siya ngayon. At habang pinapaliwanag niya yung kanyang mga aklat, sumingit yung tagapagsalita. Ang sinabi niya ay huwag mong kaming daanin sa mahabang pagpapaliwanag. Sagutin mo ang tanong, will you recant or not? And this was the famous answer of Luther. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture or by clear reason, for I trust neither Pope nor Council alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. Now imagine the impact of that on these people who believed in the infallibility of the Pope. Sabihin mo ba namang ang mga Papa ay nagkamali at nagsalungatan sa kanilang mga sarili? And then he continues, I am bound by the scriptures I have cited, for my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since to act against one's conscience is neither safe nor right. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand, so help me God. I would have loved to watch that. A man standing by his conscience in the sight of so many powerful men of the empire, of governments, and of the church. This was Martin Luther, and it is of this sort of men that the Reformation ay kumalat sa buong Europa, yung kanyang prinsipyo ng paninindigan sa salita ng Diyos lamang na nasa kasulatan. Ano ba yung pinanindigan ng Reformation? Muli lang nating sariwain sa tatlong solas nila na sola scriptura, sola gratia, at sola fide. So sa mga yan ay ang pinakadiretsong epekto niyan, syempre ay sa katuruan, doktrina ng kaligtasan, ebanghelyo. Kaya nagkaroon ng hindi maiiwasang paghahati sa pagitan ng simbahang Romano at ng mga tinawag later na mga protestante, protestants, reformers, actually evangelicals, ay sa mga prinsipyong ito. At ang mga prinsipyong ito ay lubhang makapangyarihan, kaya yung effect niya hindi lang nandun sa mismong katuruan, doktrina ng kaligtasan at ebanghelyo, yun ang tuwiran, yun ang direct impact or effect. But then there were offshoots. Ibig sabihin, yung hindi tuwiran, hindi intended, pero such was the power of these principles that they had offshoots. So yung offshoot nga, gaya ng ating larawan, hindi siya talaga bahagi mismo ng trunk, pero tumubo pa rin. Nagkaroon ng ganyan ang Reformation, na hindi intended, hindi directly aimed at, pero nangyari because of the power of the principles. Halimbawa, ang sola scriptura, one offshoot is liberty from tyranny. Dahil tinanggal nila yung kanilang loyalty sa Papa, kundi nilagay nila sa kasulatan at sa salita ng Diyos, nagkaroon din ng sa larangan ng pamahalaan, pamamahala, natanggal din yung panunupil. There was an offshoot in liberty of tyranny. At nakita natin nung nakaraan yung sola gratia naman ay because it stood upon the merits of Christ alone and it believes in the sinfulness of man, nagkaroon naman ng usapin ng justice in society. Pinaliwanag ko nga yung sinasabi nating democracy, akala natin the main thing about democracy is majority rule. Well, that is part of democracy, but as the Puritans developed democracy in the United States, the main principle was because of the sinfulness of man, you cannot concentrate power on one branch. So ang naging pinaka-principle ay check and balance because power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, there should be balance of power. Yan ang essence ng democracy. It was built upon by the Puritans on the doctrine of man's sinfulness. Dahil makasalanan ng tao, hindi pwedeng nakakonsentrate lamang. So there was liberty, yung isang effect, nakita natin last week, justice, yung idea ng blind justice, huwag kang tumingin sa kung sino yung tao. So, yan ang offshoot nung sola gratia. Ngayong umaga, tingnan natin ang isa pang offshoot pagdating sa dignity of vocation. May kinalaman sa paggawa sa ating trabaho. Ilagay natin muli yung sarili natin, mag-time machine tayo, punta tayo sa Europa in the 16th century. When people then spoke of vocation, they only meant one thing, priesthood. And Martin Luther, remember, was a priest. It's Martin Luther as a priest, he took it very seriously. It was said, nung siya ay nabigyan na ng lisensya na makapangungunat na siyang magmisa, he took seriously that upon his hand was the body of Christ. He trembled and then he ran away. Na-feel niya na talagang si Kristo yung nasa kamay niya habang siya ay nagmimisa. So in other words, Martin Luther as a priest took his vocation very seriously. And back in those days, ang ambisyon ng mga magulang ay isa man lamang sa lalaki nilang mga anak ay maging pare. Yun ang parang kulang ang isang pamilya kung walang naging pare sa pamilya. So that was the position then. The reason was because priestly office possessed the exclusive power to effectuate the sacraments. Kung walang pare, hindi pwede yung kumpisal. Walang makapagpapatawad ng kasalanan. Kung walang pare, hindi pwede yung misa. Hindi magiging katawan ni Kristo yung ostia. And this remains the official doctrine of the Catholic Church, yung priest and sacrament. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1120. Sabi nila, the ordained priesthood guarantees that it really is Christ who acts in the sacraments through the Holy Spirit for the Church. The saving mission entrusted by the Father to His incarnate Son was committed to the apostles and through them to their successors. They received the Spirit of Jesus to act in His name and in His person. The ordained minister is the sacramental bond that ties the liturgical action to what the apostles said and did, and through them to the words and actions of Christ, the source and foundation of the sacraments. So, Catechism yan, 1994. Kaya until now, that is the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Sa pagdating sa Mass, it is the same priest, Christ Jesus, whose sacred person His minister truly represents. Now the minister, by reason of the sacerdotal consecration which he has received, is truly made like to the high priest and possesses the authority to act in the power and place of the person of Christ. Sa Latin, virtute act persona ipsius Christi, eh, ang punto niyan ay, what, yan ang nakikita natin, what we see is the priest, pero what actually happens, they say, is Christ is the one administering the sacraments. So, by faith, they take the priest as representing Christ. So, yan pa rin ang official doctrine hanggang ngayon ng Roman Catholic Church, na sa pamamagitan ng pare, yun ang magta-transform sa ostia na maging body of Christ at dun sa wine na maging talagang blood of Christ. So, that's the official doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. And one result of that was that the value of any deed is its contribution to the interests of the church. So, isang naging resulta nito ay accumulation. Yumaman ang simbahan. Yumaman pati ang clergy. And a wealthy church provided well for the priesthood. So sa marami nilang mga sakramento, eh, lahat yan ay dumarating sa simbahan. They terminate upon the church. So the church enriched itself. And through the church, of course, the clergy. Money was considered sinful unless shared with the church. So kumbaga yung pagkita na basta para lang sa'yo ay makasalanan. And therefore, one thing that it resulted in, maraming nagpare dahil sa kagustuhan nilang yumaman. Yan nga ang na-discovery ni Martin Luther nang pumunta siya sa Roma. Ay kumbaga ay nagagalit na siya sa nakikita niya sa kanyang paligid sa Germany. So, inambisyon niya na pumunta ng Rome para doon makita niya the Holy City. Instead, when he went to Rome, 1510, lalo siyang nadismaya sa nakita niya mga paring nagpapayaman lang and full of corruption. But that's how it was, the wealthy Vatican. Dagdag mo pa rin yung superstition. So, ito yung mga drawing ito ng mga panahong yon. Yung isang may sakit, pinapalibutan ng mga demonyo. At ang tanging makapagpapalaya sa mga demonyo na yon ay kapag nandiyan ang pari. And people then were so filled with superstitions. Yung mapatid ka o madapa ka, ay pinatid ka ng demonyo. Ganyan yung mga paniniwala noon. Punong-puno ng mga pamahiin. Well, hanggang ngayon, maraming tao pa rin ang puno ng pamahiin. Pero ilagay mo yan sa panahon na talagang sobra ang mga pamahiin. And that was the result. Talagang takbo sila ng takbo sa pari. Hindi pwedeng mawala ang pari. And therefore, vocation was understood as that which is the priesthood. Blessing on one's work was secured by dedicating into the church and to the clergy so that everything from artwork to farming needed something quote-unquote Christian in it. So in other words, there was no dignity in just plain vocation. The dignity was in the priesthood, and you only share in that dignity if you look up to the priesthood. So ganyan yung naging effect. At ang pinaka-popular na artist noon, Leonardo da Vinci, and even his writing, paintings, artwork, where many of them were associated with the church. One of the most famous is, of course, his Last Supper. So dyan, makikita natin yung pag-associate, maski ng art. Ang art, walang beauty in itself unless Christian, unless churchly. Kung may basbas ng simbahan, doon lamang nagkakaroon ng dignidad. So sa puntong yan, dyan natin ilagay yung pangatlong prinsipyo na sola fide. Sa simbahang Katoliko, ang paniniwala nila is justification by faith and sacraments. Sa pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos at siyang pinanindigan ng reformers, it is justification by faith alone. So tingnan yung magiging effect nito kung ito ay pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos. Therefore, what is required of everyone is faith in Christ. Kinakailangan manampalataya kay Hesukristo upang maligtas. And that rejects priestly intermediaries. Inilagay ang makasalanan at si Kristo ng harapan. Walang ganun sa paniniwala ng priestly mediation, hindi ka makalalapit kay Kristo on his own, on your own. Kinakailangan mo ng isang tagapamagitan sa paraan ng mga pari at mga sakramento. Hindi magiging mabisa ang sakramento kung wala ang pari. Paano ka mapapatawad ni Jesus sa kumpisal? Sa paraan ng pari? Paano mo matatanggap si Kristo sa misa? Hindi si Kristo mismo, kundi sa pamamagitan ng sakramento na pangungunahan ng isang pari. But sola fide teaches that you have to do with Christ himself, ikaw mismo. Yung sola fide, iniharap yung individual kay Jesucristo mismo. And that is what the Bible teaches us. Romans 10, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him, for everyone. So bawat isa, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the Spirit operates on every individual. John 1, 12 and 13, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So diyan ay makikita natin na diretso kay Kristo. Hindi priestly intermediary, kundi Christ himself. And that means you have to deal with, you have to receive grace from Christ himself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So yung pumunta ka ng simbahan, lumuhod ka sa pare, o tumanggap ka ng ostya sa misa, yan ay works. At ang sinasabi rito, not of works, so that no one may boast. It is by the grace of God. So what it resulted in is to break absolute dependence of the individual upon the clergy. Yung dati, wala siyang magagawa, wala siyang matatamo sa simbahan, malibang sa pamamagitan ng mga gawa ng pari. That was broken by sola fide. Sola fide makes the issue of salvation a matter of individual standing and response to Christ. We believe that Christ is the only mediator. So sa drawing yan, pinapakita, people are sinful, God is holy, and the only way to bridge that chasm, that gap, is through the mediation of Christ. Sa turo ng simbahang Katoliko, siyempre andyan uli mga sakramento, pare. Ang ginawa ng sola fide ay nilagay si Kristo lamang sa pagitan ng Diyos at ng makasalanan. So the direct effect is that the Reformation makes salvation an issue of personal relation to Christ. Christ as the only mediator. So yan yung direct effect. Now, the indirect or the offshoot of this principle is that it highlights the significance of the individual. Yung individual mismo ay may halaga, may dignidad sa kanyang sarili, at yung dignidad niya bilang individual ay umabot hanggang sa kanyang gawain. Bilang individual, it spilled over into vocation. So, dati, pare-pareho lang kayo. Ang isang to, umiba siya. Yan ang ibig sabihin, he has his individual choice. He can move as he pleases, directed by his conscience. Yan ang ginawa ni Martin Luther sa Worms. I am captive to the word of God. I will not go against my conscience. Noon, ang punto ay, kahit anong konsyensya mo, basta magpasakop ka sa simbahan. In the act of Martin Luther in Worms, this was an act of an individual following his own choice, following his own conscience. And that spilled over, umabot siya hanggang sa pati sa gawain. May halaga ang individual. Kaya dito na pumasok yung vocation is not just priesthood. What you are in what you do for God is dignified in and of itself. At yan ang isa sa mga naging effect ng Reformation, dignity of vocation. Gaya ng sinasabi ng ating text sa ating handout, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. As we commanded you, work has its own dignity. Hindi kinakailangan nasa simbahan. What you do in the farm, what you do with your art, what you do with your science, what you do with your business has dignity in and of itself because the individual has value as an individual. Tingnan natin ngayon yung developments nitong dignity of vocation and of work. Una, ay nag-develop yung tinatawag na Protestant work ethic. Max Weber, the father of sociology, modern sociology, siya yung gumamit ng salitang work ethics sa kanyang pagkukumpara ng mga bansa noon na Protestant ang value at doon sa mga Catholic yung kanilang value. Nakita niya yung pagkakaiba pagdating sa work ethic. And in the Protestant work ethic, every individual being significant, his work has value. Ibig sabihin, work is part of man's creation mandate. Akala ng iba, work is the result of sin. Hindi. Before man fell, that's Genesis 3, meron na siyang mandate from God, Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So may work assignment siya. At yan ay bahagi ng creation mandate natin. That is the reason why we say a man who does not work ay dehumanizing. Because he is made to work as a man. And if he cannot work and does not work, it dehumanizes him. Because that is part of the mandate of man. And kasama na riyan, na whatever decent work one does, it does not have to be of the church. Isipin nyo na lang yung pinaka-menial, mababang uri ng work nung panahong yon sa New Testament. And yet Paul could still say to slaves, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bond servant or is free. That is a radical statement given the context of that period. Well, sa kanila, yung mga alipin, walang value yan. Pero sinasabi ni Paul, meron. Hindi kinakalan sa simbahan ng trabaho para masabing ito'y para sa Panginoon. Habang sila ay maaaring nagpapakain ng hayop, ay they are doing it for the Lord. And one of the most famous sayings of Martin Luther was, even a dairy maid can milk cows to the glory of God. Yung nagpapagatas lang ng baka ay nagagawa niya yung sa kaluwalhatian ng Diyos. And that is the point of the dignity of work as defended by the reformers resulting from sola fide. And this work ethic proved liberating, which yielded a sense of dignity. So that's Protestant work ethic. And then, appropriate profit motive. Nakita natin kanina, the church frowned on profit motive. Na para bang greed. Kinakalangan, kung kikita ka, ibahagi mo sa simbahan. At dun lang nagkakaroon ng value ang kita mo. In the Reformation principle, nag-spill over sa work na it is right to have a motive of profit in your labor. Isipin mo ang income, and that is something which the Bible tells us. Proverbs 14:23, in all toil, there is profit. But mere talk tends only to poverty. And then Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So, merong tamang profit motive sa inyong labor as long as it is honest, decent, moral. Ngayon, kung kikita ka by tax evasion or by smuggling or other ways na hindi honest, that's wrong profit motive. Kaya dinidiin ko yung appropriate profit motive. And this principle has contributed to the development of fair labor practices. One of the most intense statements of the New Testament is against the rich who withhold the wages of their laborers in James 5, but I'll let you read it later. So the next in the development is capitalist free enterprise. So the point there is that there must be proper treatment of our laborers. You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Then does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. Again, the point of profit motive. But then sa capitalist free enterprise, the father of that is Adam Smith. Sa kanyang book na Wealth of Nations. And Adam Smith was a Scottish Christian. And sa kanyang Wealth of Nations, doon niya inargue yung tinatawag na invisible hand. As people seek in their work after their interest, there is that invisible hand that arranges things so that it results in the good of society. Samantalang kung ikaw ang mag-restrain, kung ikaw ang mamilit, mamwersa kung anong gagawin ng mga tao na wala yung kanilang profit motive, the more it will be worse for society. So that developed free enterprise. Hayaan mo sila kung anong interest nila, kung anong sa kanilang palagay saan sila may kikitain, let the invisible hand regulate that, so to speak. So free trade promotes the best products for the best interest of the consumers. And this, of course, is guaranteed by the 8th commandment, you shall not steal. Now, you may wonder, what in the world is this? This is Nogales City in Sonora, Mexico. Now, the reason why this is a unique city is because, as you can see, this is divided by a border. Over this side is Mexico. The other side is Arizona. So, bakod lang ang nagpapagitan sa kanila. Pero over this side is poor for very many years because they were highly repressed. On the other side, of course, it's America, capitalism, it's wealthy. And yet, it's a mere fence that separates them. Pero nahahighlight yung kapag magkaiba kayo ng patakaran at hindi mo bigyan ng kalayaan, eh mas worse for society. Whereas bigyan mo sila ng kalayaan, it will be better for society. And of course, we know that most especially in the case of two countries separated by the 38 parallel, North Korea and South Korea, and I don't have to tell you which one is free, which one is repressed, and I don't have to tell you which one is rich with their Hyundai, etc., kanilang mga produkto, and North Korea is miserable because of lack of freedom. So this only highlights the point na bigyan mo ng kalayaan at hayaan mong sila ang humanap ng kanilang interes at there will be that invisible hand that will take care of things. And this is what the Bible tells us should be the case. Now let me just conclude with a warning. Vocation must not be mistaken for workaholism or materialism. I believe in profit motive, but that's not to say we are to be materialistic. I still believe in 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So while I advocate free enterprise, profit motive, yet that is not to advocate materialism, not even workaholism. When we allow these things, there will be more happy people doing their things as they please. Yan, mga happy people. Dahil happy sila, ginagawa nilang gusto nila. Tingnan nyo, konting lundag lang ni Ben, siya ang pinakamatangkad sila. But that's what we want. For society, people who do what they want, seeking after their interest, and people will be happy. Let us value our vocation, but with gratitude to the Reformation principle of sola fide. Any question? Any thought you like to share? Ben.
Pastor, may possibility ba na kung ano yung tingin sa mga pare ng Roman Catholicism, maging ganun din yung mga pastor sa Protestant?
Oh yes, very possible. And in fact, this is something I always warn my students about. Ay, maraming mga nako-convert galing sa simbahang Katoliko na mayroong ganung attitude sa mga pare, and they can be saddled with the same attitude and transfer it to the pastor. At hindi natin dapat gawin yun. Hindi pare ang pastor. Hindi ako tagapamagitan sa inyo at sa inyong Diyos. You go direct to God through Christ. Pwede rin mangyari yan na people ask for my prayer. And of course, I am very much willing to pray. But when I detect an attitude na para bang yung prayer ko ay mas malapit sa Diyos, mali po iyon. Huwag tayong magtangkilik ng ganyang saloobin na ang pastor ay isang tagapamagitan. We are not. We are preachers of the word. We feed the church with the word of God, and therefore I believe in the dignity of the pastoral office. But the pastoral office is not and never will be a priestly ministry. Other questions? Jim.
Pastor, yung the reflection that I had tungkol dun sa lesson, yung the cultural dimension of it, kasi dito sa atin sa Philippines, parang yung labor, seeking profit for one's labor, is something na parang binibigyan ng, ano, hindi siya valued, in other words. Like, for instance, magpaparepair ka ng whatever is need to be repaired sa bahay mo, parang ititiway lang. So I don't like that practice actually in our house. Kahit yung mga namumulot lang ng dun sa garden namin ng mga snail, we pay 10 cents per snail. Kasi we wanted them to have profit for their labor. And I think that's a very bad practice nga natin, culture dito sa Philippines, na tiway na lang lahat yung mga labor ng repairs and papapulot ng kung ano-ano. Actually, parang na-ano sa akin yung ganong thinking. So while I was in the U.S. some time ago, binuhat lang nung security guard dun sa airport yung bag ko, and then I say thank you, and then he said, ma'am, here in the U.S., you give tip. So parang, is tipping wrong or is tipping right? I was just thinking na it's actually not bad. Why not? Nag-ask lang siya, and then I said, how much? And said, $1. Isip ko, laki nun na. But anyway, okay, this is the culture. Pero dito sa atin, we don't even give tips dun sa mga, legitimately, we can give tips like yung sa mga hotels and some restaurants. So, possibly merong ganong thinking sa atin na okay lang yung TY. I don't know whether it's influenced by our, it's a Catholic influence, I'm not very sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, and kung wala na akong pera, I know where to go. Punta sa bahay mo. Jean, may papagawa ka ba? yes, I believe that we should honor work, and one way to honor work is to give it value. Among other things, may monetary value kung... Now, maliban na lang na talagang i-refuse niya dahil gustong-gusto niyang gawin out of service to you, you also need to honor that. Pero yung proper compensation for work done should be honored as a principle. At isipin ngayon, sa tipping, I regularly tip because I believe that kulang yung kinikita ng mga nagsiservisyo, and I just want to, I usually pay more than what's usual sa tricycle man yan, taxi, or restaurant. So I don't believe that tipping is wrong. But however, some companies, nakasulat na sa kanila yung policy nila, no tipping policy. So I also honor that. So it depends on the situation. But yes, paying for service rendered, I believe, is an honorable principle. Glenn.
Haupot, Pastor, ang mga iglesia or mga churches, not necessarily Protestant or necessarily Baptist, but are they okay to go on business like schools, like papagawa tayo ng hotel, ng Grace Baptist Church, Grace Baptist Hotel, or... bibili tayo ng trucking or kasi it's vocation.
Well, some churches practice that, and I have always stood on the principle that the calling of the church is kingdom service. So any income the church appropriates other than kingdom service, I believe to be wrong. So whether yan ay business, etc., may mga simbahan na they think it's all right to form a cooperative na kikita yung co-op para sa church, I have always maintained my position that the church is kingdom community and therefore it must concentrate on kingdom activity, including its income must be kingdom sourced, offering during worship and gifts among churches. So those are the ways God mandated, God endorsed, and regulated the church to accumulate its finances. Now, kung gusto ng mga miyembro sa simbahan na mag-form ng kanilang business among themselves, nothing will prevent that. But that is not under the church. Other questions or thoughts you'd like to share about dignity of work? Paano itong, how it operates in your case? G.
Gusto ko lang pong mag-comment, Pastor, dun sa dehumanizing pagka hindi tayo nag-work. Much more dun sa mga may sakit na, lalo't alam nila na meron ng tanning ang buhay nila. And they feel like talagang gusto pa rin nilang ipakita na meron pa rin pakinabang ang pamilya sa kanila. Minsan, ang mga cancer patients natin, meron silang time na malakas sila, pero ang pamilya na rin mismo ang nagsasabing huwag. So, if ever na meron tayong miyembro ng pamilya, ibigay pa rin natin ang dignity of life na when it is possible na makagawa pa rin sila ng na sila'y kapakipakinabang, let them do it. Kasi mamamatay ka na, gusto mong hugasan man lang ang puwit mo, kailangan pa rin ikaw ay ipaghugas nila. Eh gusto mahugasan. Yung mga ganong kasimpleng bagay na para bang pupunta ka lang sa bathroom, andyan pa sila, alalay sila lahat, when in fact, kayang-kaya naman. Gusto lang kasi nilang ipakita na kaya kong tumayo, kaya kong pumunta sa bathroom. At sila din mismo ang magsasabi ng times na hindi talaga nila kaya and that's the time na talagang alalayan natin sila.
Thank you, G. That's a good point na kumisa nga, masyadong overprotective tayo sa may sakit. Samantalang kailangan ng may sakit na maramdaman na kaya pa nila, may mga magagawa pa sila. Pero yung family, out of overprotection, yung bagay na yun na makapagbibigay value sa kanila, napipigil pa. So that's a good point na let the person do his work, which he can do, because work is something of the essence of our humanity. At yun ang point ko na kapag ang isang tao ay voluntarily unemployed, dehumanizing yun. Maging sa mga may kakayahan tapos nagiging unemployed, ay dehumanizing hindi lang sa wala silang kinikita, kundi nababawasan yung kanilang pagkatao ng dahil sa walang magawa. Glit.
Habang wala pa nagtatanong. Isa siguro, isusugang ko lang yung sinabi ni Jean kanina na kaiba talaga ang Pilipino. Parang ikaw, pag nagtatrabaho ka tapos sisingilin mo yung gagawin. Parang masyado kang negosyante. Para bang negative na negative pag negosyante ka. If you go to Vietnam or other countries, na talagang you have to negosyo talaga. Kaya sa atin dito, pag laki mo, ay laging common narinig niyo, pag laki mo, anong gusto mo? Saan ka magtatrabaho? Sa UP ba? O sa San Miguel? O sa PLDT? Sa kanila, ang tatanong sa kanila anong business na gagawin mo? So, yung entrepreneur na dapat, pagsabing entrepreneur kayo, negative na negative sa'yo. So, medyo baguhin siguro natin yun. Isa siguro yun sa mga Christian way na we should dignify and may dignity talaga kahit sa mga trabahong ganun.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's something that we should raise our consciousness na yung pagkita ay hindi masama. At isa yun sa isinasaalang-alang sa pagpapasya ng ating trabaho, etc. ay kung ano yung kikitain mo na matapat, marangal. Basta't matapat at marangal at hindi ka lumalabag sa kalooban ng Diyos, hindi masama na isipin mo ang kikitain. There's only one job where kikitain should not be a consideration, and that's the pastoral ministry. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 10. You cannot be a hireling. A minister must not think of his hire, and he must live of the gospel, and that's for the church. That's for the church to think about, not the man in the ministry. Vic.
Pastor, para bigla ko lang pong naisip, yung mga matatanda po, yung mga lolo at lola natin, malimit, ayaw na natin silang pagtrabahuhin. Pero ngayon ko lang naisip na kaya sila nagpipilit din na magtrabaho. Dahil sa it's part of the creation mandate. Kasi laging naiisip natin baka matapilok, baka ganyan, and dapat maghuminto na lang. Pero parang sa ngayon ay tiningnan ko yun sa ibang paraan na hindi natin sila dapat pigilin. Basta sa tingin natin hindi naman talaga magiging detrimental sa kanila. And we cannot blame them for really having that desire to work. And kahit yung maliliit lang ng mga bagay sa bahay, magwawalis, because it's really part of the creation mandate.
Exactly. And I agree na i-extend natin yung sinabi natin kanina doon sa may sakit na nagagawa natin yung overprotection sa mga may edad, which we should not. Now, of course, when they have reached retirement age, they have earned their retirement as far as regular employment is concerned, but that does not mean to say na nawala na yung kakayahan nilang magtrabaho at gumawa, may iba pa silang mga bagay na magagawa, and that is something that we need to, in fact, isaalang-alang para sa self dignity ng isang may edad. Other thoughts? Yes, go ahead.
Opo, napaisip din po kasi ako dahil yung dignity and the vocation and everything. Tapos nung bata pa po ako, parang tinuruan na po kami ng mama ko po mag-tithe po, give your first fruits to the Lord. And parang kahit na importante po yung hindi po ginagawang yung mediator, yung church po kay God, nakikita ko pa rin po na importante rin po talaga mag-give ng first fruits po kay God.
Yes,
na ibigay po sa church in tithe, yung offering.
Ayan. Tama yun. We have a Christian obligation na magbigay, magkaloob. Proverbs 3 verse 8 says, honor the Lord with your substance. So the way, one of the ways na pinaparakita natin yung pagpaparangal natin sa Panginoon ay through giving. Now, what I'm explaining kanina ay yung idea na walang value doon sa pagkita kung hindi ibigay sa simbahan. Yun ang mali na gawing intermediary ang simbahan sa ating mga kinikita. Yung ating trabaho may dignidad sa sarili niya, kasama niya yung kikitain, pero kung ikaw ay mananampalataya, dapat na isaalang-alang yung what we are to give to the cause of God through the church. So, thank you.
Tapos napaisip lang po din ako na yung pumasok lang po sa akin habang nag-preach po kayo kanina, yung God loves a cheerful giver. Yung hindi sa pilitan po magbigay.
Tama rin yun. That's one of the reasons we do not make any close monitoring of the gifts and offerings of this church. Is precisely because we believe that this is a matter between the giver and his God, not something na iniisip niyang someone's looking over his shoulder kung ano nang ibinibigay niya. Other thoughts or questions? Glenn.
Huling salita ko na to. Siguro, yung mga kagayang matanda, yung sinabi kanina, ngayon may mga kabataan, dapat matuto ding magnegosyo or matuto ng mga small things. And in relation to that, yung mga kabataan natin pupunta sa youth camp ay may ginawa silang pulburon daw para ibibenta nila. Kasi unless na full talagang bibigyan lang silang sponsor ay gumawa sila ng polboron na masarap daw. Inikman ko naman kaunti, pero hindi pa ako nagbayad. Ay nandun daw sa labas para na nagre-raise sila ng pera. Kung hindi kayo bibili daw, ay pwede naman kayo mag-donate. So, yun ang ban. So, isang magandang pandin yun sa mga kabataan na hindi lang dole out nating binibigay, kundi maglilinis. Ang isabi ko sa kanila, maglilinis kayo ng kotse. Ang daming kotse dyan sa labas, babayaran kayo. So, yung mga isang dignity ng work din yun.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. So, there's a dignified polvoron sa na binibenta. But that's a concrete application ng ating pinag-aralan. Other thoughts? Annie?
Mag-share lang po ako regarding sa dignity of vocation. Kasi during the time na maliliit pa yung mga anak ko, may mga times na wala akong project. And then, kumukuha ako ng mga landscape maintenance. Tapos po, actually dun sa landscape maintenance, usually may tao naman akong katulong. Pero there are times na kailangan ako lang ang gagawa kasi nanghihinayang ako doon sa extra na ibabayad ko sa tao. And then someone told me, ginagawa mong busabos ang sarili mo kasi alam nila na graduate nga ako ng agriculture and then nakikita nila ako sa BE Homes na nagugupit ako kasama yung mga anak ko. Doon ko nakita na yung pananaw ng ibang tao tungkol sa trabaho na pagka-hard labor ay ang tawag nila ay busabos. And then, sinagot ko na lang siya, this is just temporary. Kasi anyway, tapos naman ako. But for the meantime na wala akong client ngayon, why not? Sinagot ko siya ng ganun. Tapos doon ko lang po na-realize kung gaano, like yung sabi ni Gina, yung culture nating mga Filipino, kung paano ang baba ng tingin nila sa manual labor.
Thank you, Annie. Tama yun. May mga ganun ang pananaw sa manual labor ay mas mababang uri, and we should correct that. And this is where the dignity of vocation concept is very liberating. Kung nagtatrabaho ka through farming, cultivation, Jesus was a carpenter. And that means manual labor. And that gives dignity to all kinds of manual labor that is honest, decent, moral. Kaya kung may ganung pananaw, baguhin natin yon. Of course, we also have a high esteem for intellectual labor, as we do with manual labor. Kaya kung anong ibinigay na panawagan, yan ang sabi ng 1 Corinthians chapter 9, kung saan ka tinawag ay doon ka manilbihan sa Panginoon. So if you were called manual work, do it the best way you can. Intellectual, conceptual, again, do it the best way you can. We need both. Yung sinabi ko kanina, nang nangyari noon ay magkakaroon lang ng value kapag merong elemento ng simbahan. Well, at least Leonardo da Vinci began to be liberated from that because he did not simply paint Christian art, quote-unquote. He also had Mona Lisa, which has nothing Christian in it. So ang point ay, you do it honestly as God has given you skill. It doesn't have to be under the church. Other thoughts, Ben?
Meron po tayong pastor sa church who are full-time in the ministry of the word. And then meron ding mga professionals na full-time sa pagtatrabaho. How about yung mga active personal evangelism and Bible studies? Ito po ba ay para din sa mga chosen few who are called and gifted, or ito ay para sa mga ordinary church members na pwede nilang, dapat ba natin silang encourage and i-train na makapaggawa din ng, makapag-produce ang sarili ng Bible studies?
My position is that teaching is a gift, especially teaching the Word of God is a gift, and therefore we cannot force anyone na mag-handle ng isang public teaching na hindi niya kakayanin, because it will only undermine both the person as well as the teaching. makapagturo pa siya ng hindi dapat doon because wala siyang gift doon. What I will maintain is that every Christian has the responsibility of witness. Kasi mag-share siya ng kanyang karanasan sa Ebanghelyo, sa iba pa. Pero yung public teaching of the word is something of a gift. Now, someone may do that as full-time work, part ng kanyang trabaho sa simbahan at siya'y sinusuportahan ng simbahan, pwede yun. But yung pastoral ministry is an office. Yung public teaching sa mga Bible study at iba pa, it's not yet a ministerial office. It is the pastor and deacon that are offices in the church. Pero yung public teaching of whatever kind of the Word of God necessitates the possession of gifts. Papu.
Mayroon po akong kakilala na nung hindi pa Kristiyano ay magandang kanyang trabaho. Sa San Miguel siya nagtatrabaho. Kaya lang nung naging Kristiyano siya, sa maling paniniwala na dahil sa alak ang produkto ng San Miguel ay sa demonyo yon. Kaya magandang kanyang posisyon. Ang ginawa niya, nag-resign siya sa trabaho niya. Ang nangyari ay naghirap tuloy siya.
Which is, again, rooted in wrong mentality. Yan ang point ko kanina na ina-associate yung kasalanan sa mga panlabas na bagay, externals, bisyo, which is wrong. A job in San Miguel is a decent job, as long as you're not being asked to do anything corrupt. But being involved in a company that manufactures liquor, etc., does not make it an immoral job. So, nakikita natin dito yung kapag mali ang theology mo, affected din ang iyong vocation. Eh, ganyan din ang nangyari sa akin. Advice ng pastor ko, iwanan yung aking academics, and which I did. I was then a student in UP Diliman, and sabi sa akin ay ang talagang saysay ng pagka-Kristiyano ay soul winning. So, I left it to my regret, but of course the Lord arranged otherwise. But kung mali ang konsepto natin, mali ang theology natin, affected ang ating vocation. Any final thoughts? Tina?
Gusto ko lang pong ipagpasalamat, Pastor, sa Panginoon. Yun pong liberating na principle po na pinaniniwalaan po ng ating iglesia dahil, ayun nga po, kagaya po nang nabanggit nyo, marami pa rin pong churches ngayon na tinitingnan po ang pastoral ministry, ang pagpasok sa seminary, sa Bible schools, na parang nandun yung end of yung life, para pong nandun na lang. Pero kagaya din po ng sa inyo, ganun, hindi po ako nakapagtapos dahil gusto ko na po noong pumasok sa Bible school. Dahil yun nga po yung, parang nandun na po ang buhay ng isang Kristiyano lang. Parang sa, kung magtatrabaho ka, yun lang, work for the Lord in the ministry, sa church, yun lang po ang mahalaga. Pero nun nga pong naturuan po ako dito sa iglesyang to na kung nasan po, kung saang vocation ka tinawag ng Panginoon, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not as unto men. So nandun po yung dignity ng vocation wherever you are, wherever the providence of God has placed you.
Okay, thank you, Tina. So totoo yung liberating effect talaga kapag nakita mo na yung dignity ng pag-aaral sa secular man o business or trabaho. It liberates you and it makes you value your work. Kaysa yung sa nangyari nga sa amin na iniwan yung pag-aaral, nag-Bible school, and then panibagong pag-aaksaya because after 4 years of Bible school, I had more years of unlearning what I learned from Bible school because they were wrong things. And a lot na nasayang nung gusto ko nang bumalik sa UP, hindi na pwede. Kaya ang point ay how liberating na mabigyan ka ng turo na pahalagahan mo ang iyong trabaho, pahalagahan mo kung saan ka tinawag na gawain at gamitin mo sa paglilingkod sa Panginoon. So, let us thank the Lord for such liberation through the teachings of Scripture. Last thought. Well, balikan natin ito sa, ito ay offshoot of what is direct. Sola Fide is telling us individually, you must respond to Christ. Huwag kang mag-respond sa intermediary operations ng sacraments. Ang sinasabi nito, mahalagang individual. Bawat isa ay dapat tumugon kay Kristo mismo. Sa pagitan ni Kristo at ng sarili mo, walang namamagitan. Walang pare, walang pastor, walang sakramento. Ikaw ay nakaharap kay Kristo sa iyong sarili. Dapat kang tumugon sa Kanya bilang nag-aalok ng kaligtasan at ng Kanyang biyaya. That is what Sola Fide has recovered, the preciousness of every individual to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that develops the dignity of vocation. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa iyong providensya sa kaganapan ng Reformasyon at kung paanong nanindigan sila sa mga prinsipyo katulad ng Sola Fide na ipinakitang ang bawat individual ay hinaharap ng mensahe ng Ebanghelyo at ng Panginoong Hesukristo upang siya mismo sa kanyang pangisahan ay tumugon sa alok ng kaligtasan at alok ng biyaya. Nawa ito'y maging hamon sa bawat narito na kailangan pang tumugon kay Hesukristo sa kanyang paanyaya at sana'y tumugon siya na tanggapin ng may pananampalataya ang alok ng kaligtasan na kay Hesukristo lamang. Ngunit mula sa tuwirang bunga nito ay naipairal din ang katotohanan ng dignidad ng bawat panawagan, ang dignidad ng bawat gawain. At sana'y maging tunay na makapagpalaya ito sa amin. We thank you for the liberating truth that everyone, every individual who serves God in whatever capacity that he has been gifted with, in that capacity, he has dignity. And help us, therefore, to take seriously whatever it is we are doing in society, whatever it is doing, whatever it is we are doing in the profession, career, or job that you have entrusted to us. Help us to do it as we are told in Ephesians, not with eye service as pleasing men, but pleasing our God. So grant, Lord, that everyone will take seriously his and her vocation and do so with that thought of its dignity and its value before you. And help us that through this, we may also be of impact upon those around us, upon our society, and upon our country. We give you thanks for the sola fide of the Reformation and for the fact that justification is by faith alone. May this truth help us to maintain the urgency and the beauty of the message of the gospel. But out of this, help us, Lord, to be appreciative of our liberation from former thoughts, and now we are believers in the dignity of our vocation. We give you thanks for all of this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.